Hi, everyone. This is your 1001 Stories Network host, John Hagedorn, and I want to thank each and every one of you listeners for the support you've given 1001 Stories from the Old West. Kevin Sykes will return in the fall with a bunch of great Old West history, but during the meantime, we'll be running episodes of the old radio show, Tales of the Texas Rangers, which features actual stories from the files of the Texas Rangers from about 1936 through the late 40s. This show did very well from 1950 to 52 on NBC Radio and was successful in transitioning to TV on CBS from 1955 to 1958. I especially enjoy the episodes where they go after him on horseback. That still happens today in rough country where they need to go after fugitives on horseback, keeping America's past alive. It's time for another episode of Tales of the Texas Rangers with Joel McRae. Hope you enjoy it.
Wheaties presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. On stage tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another in the Wheaties Big Parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles, and 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, Apache Peak.
Shortly after midnight on October 4 last, a late model blue sedan came to a stop at a traffic light on the highway leading southwest out of Wichita Falls, Texas. While the driver waited for the light to change, a figure moved out from the shadows and tapped on the window of the sedan.
Going toward Haskell, mister?
I didn't hear you with the window up.
Said you're going near Haskell.
I don't know. Where is it? I'm headed for El Paso.
That's my direction. How about a ride?
All right. Hop in.
Thanks. Mighty hard getting a ride. There's your light.
Uh-huh. How far is Haskell?
About 80 miles, but I'm going past there up near Apache Peak. Ain't far from El Paso.
Oh, good. Keep me from falling asleep at the wheel. I gotta be in El Paso in the morning. Business appointment.
You from the east?
New York. Guess the accent sticks out, huh?
Reckon so. What kind of business you in?
Salesman. Airplane parts.
You get tired, I can drive a spell.
Hey, that's a thought. As soon as I start to feel sleepy.
Sure. Give you a chance to rest up. Good.
It's almost 4 a.m. Be in Odessa in 20 minutes. You want to take over?
Yeah.
Guess I can stop any place on this highway. Haven't seen another car in an hour. Yeah, I'll slide over. You get out and come around.
No, you get out.
Well, it's just as easy for you. Hey. Hey, what are you doing with that gun?
I need money, mister, and you got it.
Oh, sure, sure. I'll give it to you. I won't report it or anything. I'll give it.
I know you won't, mister.
Tales of the Texas Rangers will continue in just a moment.
Tonight, as special guest, Wheaties champion Robert Feller.
Well, by golly, it's always fun to meet a Wheaties champion, especially when he's as nice a guy as Bob Feller of the Cleveland Indians. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Ed. Are you seeing many baseball games these days?
Oh, you bet, Robert. You eating many Wheaties these days?
What a question. Well, I've been eating Wheaties for breakfast almost every morning for pretty close to 20 years.
And still going strong, huh?
Wheaties are mighty tough to get tired of. I guess Wheaties and milk and fruit will still be my favorite breakfast when I'm too old to climb out of the dugout.
Well, that won't be happening for a lot of years yet. Thanks for stopping in, Bob Feller, a real Wheaties champ.
You know, gentlemen of the audience, this man Feller has a wife and youngsters even as you and I. His paycheck depends in part on healthy energy, just as ours does. Get my point? We need them too. Wheaties, breakfast of champions. Get yours.
And now, back to our story with Joel McRae as Ranger Pearson.
The body was discovered at 8:15 on the morning of October 4 when a fence rider from a ranch bordering the highway found it in the brush at the side of the road. He reported the discovery to the nearest sheriff, and the sheriff relayed the report to the Texas Rangers. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned to the case.
There's the body, Jace. Under that sheet.
Where was he found, Sheriff?
Oh, about 11 miles east. Must have been dumped out of a car.
Shot three times. One through the neck and two through the chest. 38 caliber?
Yeah. Coroner got two of the slugs.
Any identification on him?
Or anything, Jace. Whoever done it even stole the clothes off of him. Except in his shirt and shorts and necktie. And a pack of cigarettes from his shirt pocket. It's all there on the table.
Laundry mark on the shirt, that might help. Coroner say how long he's been dead?
Oh, since 4 or 5 o'clock this morning.
And these cigarettes, were they on him?
Yeah. Why? They help any?
Maybe a whole lot. Look at this. New York State tax stamp.
Can you make something out of that?
Only the one pack of cigarettes wouldn't have lasted him from New York to Texas. Probably bought a carton or two to start out on the trip. So his home might be in New York.
I reckon an awful lot of folks buy a carton of smokes in New York, Chase.
Yeah, but it's a place to start checking that laundry mark on the shirt. It'll be a help if we know who this man is. I'll send these things into the lab, and they can send a wire photo of the mark to New York.
The coroner has some pictures of the body.
We'll put them on the wire, too. You got a deputy to get the stuff to my headquarters?
Sure thing. I'll call him.
Good. And we can get out and check the scene.
Had this little piece of road here blocked off so no cars could wipe out anything.
Good.
Yeah, body was found right in here.
Yeah. Dragged in from the road. Back of the heel scraped along there. Clothing caught on the mesquite here.
And what you picking off there?
Little fibers of cloth snagged on here. Lab men get through with these and may be able to tell us what kind of duds they came from. Let's take a look at the road.
Fresh set of tire tracks here on the shoulder, James.
Yeah, I noticed them. Impressions deeper here. That's where they stopped. Look at the marks around it. Body was dragged out of the driver's side.
That makes a difference?
Means the dead man must have been driving. So, well, there's a good chance it was his own car.
I reckon that adds up. But how about the other fella?
Could be the same old story, Sheriff. A hitchhiker.
Man'd have to be a fool to take a hitchhiker through this country, hadn't I?
Yeah, a fool. The trouble with fools is most of them are nice people. And they don't rate being killed. I'm going to play a hunch. Make some work for the highway patrol. Captain Stimson's out on investigation. I may be able to reach him in his car. Unit 10 to Unit 3. Unit 10 to Unit 3.
Unit 3 to Unit 10. Go ahead.
Unit 10 requests all points bulletin alerting highway patrol and ranger units to stop and check all cars carrying New York State plates.
The exhibits you sent over have arrived, Unit 10. You're not just going on that cigarette tax stamp, are you?
No, Captain. Murder scene check indicates victim was driving car he was dumped from.
Might have been his own.
Worth trying, I guess.
How soon can we expect a report from New York police on Laundry Mark?
That'll take time, Unit 10. We'll keep you informed. Lab reports on exhibits in a few hours.
We'll keep Unit 3 informed if I move from this location. Unit 10, 10-4. After the 10-4 sign-off, I took the sheriff back to his office. And that's when the hardest part of all hunting began, the waiting. The only thing we knew for certain about the murder car was that it was heading west on the road to Pecos and El Paso. I headed the same way, stopping to ask questions at all the smaller towns, the cafes and service stations, wherever a man on the run might risk stopping. But all the answers were the same.
New York car, you say? No, I don't think so. I only saw one out of state all day from Oklahoma.
Well, thanks anyhow, ma'am. Well,
sit down. Have some coffee and pie, Ranger.
Oh, no thanks. I gotta find a fellow.
No, I'd sure remember it if a New York car stopped here for gas. Ain't seen one in a week.
Well, thanks.
Ranger.
Yeah?
The kid runs the pumps a little while I'm eating. Maybe he saw something. I'll call him out if you want to wait till I catch this fella's windshield.
I'll wait.
Oh. Well, gee, I just remembered. The kid didn't sell nothing today.
Well, thanks anyhow.
We've been working on the road all day, senor, but we don't notice nobody.
Yeah, I guess not. They detour past you 50 yards away.
Only one who might see is Juan. He holds the red flag when a car is coming down there. But he don't even look up. He just hears the car and wave the flag. He's too busy looking in the movie magazine at Betty Gravel.
Well, thanks. By nightfall, I was just outside of Pecos. I pulled into a grove near an auto court, a place I'd stopped before. Let my horse Charcoal get down from the trailer. Barely got him unloaded when another ranger car pulled in.
Engine case?
Yeah, Kurtz.
Well, howdy, boy.
Howdy. What are you doing down here?
Got a teletype for you from headquarters. Murdered man's name was Roger Bradley, New York City. Salesman for an airplane parts outfit.
Identification positive?
Yeah. Pictures, laundry mark, everything. Police up there traced the laundry mark. Bradley's wife identified the pictures.
Was married, huh?
Yeah. Three kids. Car you're looking for is a 49 blue sedan. Here's the make and license number.
Highway Patrol hasn't spotted it anyplace.
Nope. But here's a list of all the clothes Bradley was carrying on the trip. Pretty complete description.
Can't understand why nobody's seen that car.
Killer might have gotten out of the state. Had a good start.
I hope that isn't it, Kurtz. Three kids have to grow up without their father because of a gun-crazy hitchhiker.
I know what you mean.
Let's hope he's still in Texas. If he is, we're gonna find him.
In just a moment, we continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson.
Next time you bounce out of bed in the morning, well, you do bounce, don't you? Well, okay, let's say next time you get out of bed, head for the Wheaties. Sure enough, head for the Wheaties at 7 a.m. and see how they help at 11 a.m. Yes, they can make a difference at 11. And they can make a difference at the breakfast table. It's likely to be a pleasanter place with a bowl full of crisp little old Wheaties next to your spoon and napkin. The reason is, of course, the wholehearted whole wheat taste of Wheaties. You're getting all that sweet as a nut whole wheat flavor in every Wheaties flake. Pour on the milk, put on the fruit, and dig right in to one of the finest openings any morning ever had. And then, see how much finer the morning itself goes when you've started with Breakfast of Champions. That full whole wheat really gives with vitality, you know. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every flake of Wheaties. Now see if you don't notice the difference all morning long. Less of the mid-morning slump, more of the up-and-at-em punch. Know what I mean? All right, then. You try it. Tomorrow, next day, for a good breakfast, for a good morning, start with Wheaties. See yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
And now, back to Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson in Tales of the Texas Rangers.
For the next 5 days, Ranger Kurtz and I worked our way west, but we couldn't get a lead. Then on the afternoon of October 10th, 6 days after the killing, we stopped and unloaded our horses at Eagle Flat in Hudspeth County.
Blacksmith's place is open?
Yeah. Horses can drink from his trough.
Hey, look at that poke leaning against the fence there. They sure do get dutied up for Saturday night in Eagle Flat.
Yeah. Kurtz.
What's the matter, Jace?
That suit. No poke ordered that through a mail catalog.
Hey, it looks like one of the suits described on the teletype.
Yeah. Let's find out. Howdy.
Well, howdy, Ranger.
You live around here?
Work the Longbow Ranch up near Tabernacle Mountain.
Mighty nice suit you got there. Kind of fancy.
Yeah, ain't it a dinger? From New York, the label says.
New York, huh?
Where'd you get that suit?
Well, I bought off... Now, wait a minute, Ranger. This ain't stolen, is it?
Yeah, and the man it was stolen from is dead.
Oh, man, I just bought off when a fella come by the bunkhouse.
When?
Oh, reckon it was about 5 days ago. He drove up with a bunch of stuff.
Drove up? What kind of car?
New sedan, blue.
Notice the license plates on the car?
No.
What do you think, Kurtz?
He's seen our man or he is our man.
Were you on the ranch October 4th?
Well, this is the first time I've been off in it in 2 weeks. I bought the suit, I'm telling you.
Did you buy anything else?
Yeah, this.
Watch your hands.
Well, I'm just going to show your wallet the fella threw in with the suit.
All right, get it out.
There you are. Paid him $10 for the suit and this.
Identification cards and everything stripped. You take anything out of here?
Well, nothing to take. It's just like I got it, except for my $5 in the money pocket.
Killer took all identification out of these celluloid card holders. Might have left some prints.
Ought to get it to the lab.
Yeah. All right, you better come with us.
Now, look, I didn't do nothing. Where are you taking me?
To the sheriff. You can give us a description of the man who sold you the duds. If your story checks out clean, you got nothing to worry about.
Oh, it's clean.
All right. Let's go. We checked the Pope's story at the Longbow Ranch. He was telling the truth, all right. At least we had a description of the man we were after now. About 20 years old, dark, 5'7", about 140 pounds. Kurtz and I unloaded our horses.
Which way are we riding, Jace? Come on, boy.
Head north, into the hills.
Road peters out past this ranch, though, nothing but a trail. We might have turned back to the highway.
Alarm was out by the time he passed here. If he went back to a main highway, the car would have been spotted. He's ditched it up here someplace. Well, let's ride. Get up there, Charco.
Get up there, boy.
Yeah.
We rode north from the Longbow Ranch, cutting into the mesquite and cedar that flanked the road. It got thinner and more difficult. Just when I thought we might have come too far, we spotted the car.
Reckon that's it?
Let's see. Smart. Rolled it into a gully and then covered it with dirt and grass.
Nobody'd ever spot it unless they were looking for it.
Let's get back and report it. Unit 10 to KTXP. Unit 10 to KTXP.
KTX, pay to Unit 10. Go ahead, Unit 10.
Unit 10 located blue sedan registered to Roger Bradley, New York City.
All right, Unit 10. KTX Payne just got report of fingerprints on celluloid card holders and wallet sent in. One set definitely those of murder victim Roger Bradley. Another set identified as being those of Lenny Tripper. Please repeat, Lenny Tripper.
Lenny Tripper. Any line on him?
Wanted by Army for desertion 3 months ago. Description checks. Last known address, lived with father and mother in cabin near Apache Peak.
Car was found north of Longbow Ranch. Apache Peak's about 10 miles further in. We'll investigate. Unit 10, 10-4. It was sundown when we got started. The country we had to go through is tough enough by daylight. It was after midnight when we sighted Apache Peak. There was still a light on in the cabin nested down in the foothills.
Whoa, boy. Easy. Keep kind of late hours up here, don't they?
Too late. Better tie the horses to that mesquite. We'll slip up and look in.
Yeah. Come on, boy. Chase. Something moving over there.
See it? Looks like a couple of burros. Let's take a look at them.
You boys up past your bedtime, ain't you?
Feel them. Both in a sweat, all caked up. Been packing, too. Yeah, the hair's matted down where they've been cinched.
Funny time to be working burros.
Yeah. Come on, let's see the house.
Look through the window. Man eaten. Not our boy, though. Too old.
Must be Tripper's father.
Look,
there's the old lady, too. You go around the back way, and I'll go in through the front. Wait till you hear me knock. Get in.
Right.
Open up.
Who's there?
Texas Ranger.
What do you want?
Lenny Tripper.
He ain't here.
Mind if I come in and make sure?
Let him in.
Come on. Oh, what?
Just another ranger at the back, Mrs. Tripper. You want to let him in, too?
Go ahead, Ma. Don't mind if I finish eating, do you?
No, go right ahead. This your regular mealtime?
I eat when I want to.
Nothing out back, Chase.
Where's your boy, Mr. Tripper?
You're the ranger. You find him.
We ain't seen him in a year since he joined the Army.
You haven't seen him in the last 3 months, either. Since he deserted from the Army.
You heard what you said. Get me a smoke, Ma.
If you want to help your boy, you better help us.
All right. I'll help you. He's in Mexico.
Been there more than a month.
Mexico, huh? Thanks. Mind if I have one of those cigarettes, Mr. Tripper?
Yeah, never mind. Reckon you can buy your own.
Well, I just got a hankering for one of those. Can't always get a cigarette like that.
What do you mean, Ranger?
A New York tax stamp on the pack, Tripper. Those cigarettes were stolen from a murdered man 6 days ago.
Murdered man?
Shut up!
What were you doing with those burros outside? They've been packing.
Right. I was bringing some stuff down. Been prospecting up the peak.
Abandoned silver mines up there, Jace.
Is your son hiding out one of those mines, Tripper? Were you packing supplies to him?
I told you what I was doing.
That boy's wanted for murder, and if you're smart, you'll take us to him and tell him to surrender.
Do what they say, Pa. Do what they say.
Shut up!
Leave her alone.
I didn't know about the murder. He just said the Army was after him.
Come on, Kurtz. We better go up after him.
Oh, don't hurt him.
Go ahead, Ranger.
Don't hurt him.
Go after him. He'll kill you, that's what he'll do. He'll kill you.
We had to go up on foot. It was too treacherous for the horses, and trailing over that rocky ground in the darkness slowed us to the crawling speed of an overfed snake. There got to be less earth and more rock, and the burrow tracks grew fainter. So we tried to pick them up by moonlight and flashlight.
It could have gone in any direction from here, Jace. Can't pick up a mark.
Seems to level off a bit on that shelf ahead. Might be a narrow trail there.
Hope so. Getting steeper.
Not too steep for burrows. Kurtz.
What?
That dwarf oak here. Flash your light. Yeah, that's it. Hold it.
Anything?
Yeah. Branch bent. It's been brushed. Look here, been nibbled a bit, too. Recent. Torn leaves are still fresh.
Well, we're headed right, then. Must have gone straight ahead between those big rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is it, all right. Look at the side of the rock.
Flecks of mica peeled off. Little fiber stuff.
Burra pack ropes must have scraped it.
Let's keep going. The summit where the oaks and cedars fought for whatever slight grip their roots could get on the earth between the rocks. Dawn found us on a high shelf facing a rise that led to the open mouth of an abandoned silver mine.
Trail leads straight enough now.
Yeah.
He's there, Chase.
Yeah, but 20 feet back in. He could pick us off and we'd never even get to see him. Stay down and keep the hole covered.
What are you going to do?
Just call him out.
Tripper! Lenny Tripper!
He ain't gonna answer, Jace.
You can't get out, Tripper!
Stay down, Jace!
Now he's got a rifle as well as that .38 he killed Bradley with.
You gonna come out, Tripper?
Why don't you come in, Ranger?
If we'd only packed a stick of dynamite, he'd come out soon enough or be buried in there.
Maybe the idea of dynamite would be enough. Go over down the shelf and let him see you just once on the way. Not long enough to draw a bead. Maybe we can bluff him.
Why don't you go down and let me...
It's my idea. I'll stay. Go ahead.
Be careful, Jace.
You missed him, Tripper!
I won't miss the next one!
You're not gonna get another shot. He went down to our burrows to get some dynamite. We're gonna seal you in there, Tripper. You better come out.
I know you ain't gonna kill me on sight.
I won't if you do what I tell you. Leave your rifle in there and come out with your hands clasped behind your head.
Put your rifle up on a rock where I can see it and it's a deal.
All right, Tripper. Now come out.
Out of the shaft slowly, first a blur, then into the light with his hands behind his head. I got up and he walked toward me. He wasn't wearing a gun belt, but there was something in the way he moved that made me keep my hands close to my holsters. Then he made a quick sidestep and his hands came from behind his head and I caught the glint of a .38.
Chase!
I'm all right.
Get a man.
Gun hand and arm. Put a tourniquet on and we'll take him down.
What's the matter with you, Jace? You look kind of funny.
Just thinking of his folks down there. His mother and even the old man. Just trying to help him because he belongs to them in spite of everything he's done.
Now, folks are like that.
We gotta bring him in and break their hearts.
Yeah. Makes you wonder why he ever wanted to wear a badge.
Until you remember the man he killed and the three kids who'll have to grow up without him. That makes you know you couldn't ever want to do anything but wear a badge.
There's a tourniquet. That'll hold him.
All right, Tripper, on your feet. Let's go.
A ballistic check of the .38 that Lenny Tripper carried showed it to be the murder weapon used in the slaying of Roger Bradley. With that and other evidence accumulated by Ranger Pearson and the department, Tripper was convicted and sentenced to death in the electric chair.
Joel, you did a fine job of clearing up that case.
Frank, I've got a little mystery at home. Maybe you can help me.
Well, glad to try, Joel.
Well, it's the case of the disappearing Wheaties. Every once in a while, when I'm all set for a breakfast bowl of Wheaties, my cook says, sorry, we're fresh out.
Why, that's no mystery. Wheaties are so good, so crisp, so loaded with natural, sunny, whole wheat flavor, they just don't last long.
Yes, I know, but what can I do?
Well, you can get up early before anyone else gets at the Wheaties, or buy two or three boxes at a time.
I think you hit it, Frank. Many thanks.
Good night, and thank you, Joel McRae.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae will soon be seen in the MGM production Stars and My Crown. Tonight's cast included Tony Barrett, Bill Johnstone, Sam Edwards, Paul Duboff, Byron Kane, and Virginia Gregg.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen on Monday to Frank Lovejoy and Night Beat on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.
Tomorrow, listen for Dorothy Maynor. Now it's Basin Street on NBC. Wheaties presents Joel McRae in Tales of the Texas Rangers. On stage tonight, transcribed from Hollywood, another in the Wheaties Big Parade of exciting half-hour presentations. Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Pearson. Texas, more than 260,000 square miles. And 50 men who make up the most famous and oldest law enforcement body in North America. Now, from the files of the Texas Rangers come these stories based on fact. Only names, dates, and places are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record. Case for tonight, the Trigger Men.
At 9 o'clock on the evening of May 27, 1947, Jasper Leach, operator of an independent service station in Ada, Oklahoma, was preparing to shut down for the night. Suddenly, two men in a green convertible pulled into the service island of his station.
Close for the night, fellas. Pumps are all locked.
We gotta get some gas.
All night place on the highway south, mister. Big station, you're heading that way.
I don't like big stations. We're gassing up right here. I got a tire you can fix.
Now, look, I told you I'm close for the night.
Hey, stop the chatter, will you?
You heard him, Hick. Now get moving, or I'll put a slug in you.
All right, mister. I ain't arguing with a gun.
He gets that pump going. Make him fill a couple extra 5-gallon cans.
Tight. All right, Joe. Stop playing Napoleon and get that flat spare out if you're so hot for action.
Okay, but let's take it up, eh?
Well, come on, Hayseed. Get with the pump.
Keys are in the office.
Well, let's get them. And while we're in here, you might as well open the safe.
I don't know the combination.
Yeah? Oh! I said open it, you hick.
All right, mister, I'll open it. But you ain't getting away with this. Not by a dang sight.
We'll talk that over later. Just you and me, Hick. Just you and me.
KDX 8 all units. KDX 8 all units. Oklahoma State Police advised that about 9 p.m. of 527, gas station attendant in Ada, Oklahoma, was robbed and beaten to death with tire iron. Subjects tentatively identified as number one, Joe Gordon, average size, eyes blue, hair blonde, complexion fair. Number two, Tiny Gordon, 6'3", peculiar walk, pigeon-toed, same coloring as brother. Subjects now believed to be in Texas en route to Mexican border. Wanted six states and FBI for murder, bank robbery, narcotics, other charges. Use caution. These men are dangerous. KDXA Austin.
Tales of the Texas Rangers will continue in just a moment.
Get up and get at 'em with Wheaties. Yup, for folks up and doing, for folks going places, breakfast of champions. Sure, begin a better breakfast with Wheaties tomorrow and see if you don't feel the difference all morning long. Here's why. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. You got it? There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's why Wheaties can give so much. Energy? You bet. Whole wheat energy. Vitamins and minerals? You bet. And protein, too. That's why Wheaties at 7 can make a difference at 11. There's energy in them thar flakes. You try them tomorrow morning. Make yours Wheaties. Pour on the milk, put on the fruit, and eat happy. Yes, and work happy. Tomorrow, see for yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Breakfast of champions. Breakfast for you.
There were no further signs of the Gordon brothers on the night of May 27th. But on the morning of the 28th, Captain Stinson of the Texas Rangers received a report that looked like a lead and immediately sent for Ranger Jace Pearson.
You send for me, Captain?
Yeah, Jace. I want you to get right over to the General Hospital in Palo Pinto County. Been a double shooting. Deputy Sheriff and his son.
Where'd it happen?
Near Mineral Wells, but check the hospital first. Shooting took place during the night. Rancher found them in this morning.
Mineral Wells, that's on the road south from Ada, Oklahoma. You think it might have been the Gordon brothers?
It smells like them. They were headed south, according to all previous reports. I figure they're making their run for the border, and they'll kill anybody who tries to stop them.
Sure looks that way.
The deputy never saw who gunned him, Jace. If he can talk, get all the information you can. And if it looks like the Gordons, stay with it all the way. We don't want them to get across the border.
I understand.
Judging by their past movements, they steal cars and dump them for new ones at regular intervals before they get too hot. So don't pin too much on any car descriptions.
I won't. I'll see you later.
Oh, Jace.
Yeah?
You get anything hot, report it by phone. If I have anything for you, I'll have the radio dispatcher tell you to call in. The men we're after might have a short wave set.
Right, Captain.
One thing more, Jace. This department hasn't lost a man in a long time. Let's keep it that way.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be the one to spoil the record. I checked my car out and headed for Palo Pinto County. I reached the hospital at 9:45 a.m. and saw the doctor in charge.
He'll pull through, I think, but his condition is critical. Shot 3 times through the back. One of the bullets is lodging his spine.
Which room's he in?
I'll show you.
Deputy's son hurt bad, too?
Too bad, Ranger. Dead on arrival.
He know it?
Yep, he knows. Be better if you could wait.
I wish I could. I can't.
I understand. He's in here.
The deputy was lying on his stomach, a dazed look on his face like he was remembering something over and over, but still couldn't believe it. I knelt on the floor beside him so he could see me while he was telling me what happened.
You see, my boy built himself one of them hot rod cars out of an old chassis and spare parts. You know youngsters.
Yeah.
I broke down on him last night. Fooled with it and couldn't get it to start. Called up home about midnight. Tell me and his ma why I was out so late.
Sure.
I drove out in my car to meet him. Where he called from, up at Salesville. He both fooled around with his car some, but wasn't fixing to go at all.
Here. You sip a little water through this glass straw. Better?
Yeah, thank you.
You couldn't get the car started?
Yeah. So finally, I told the kid to come on home. And we'd get it taken care of today.
Hmm.
Reckon that don't matter none now.
what happened on the way home.
We passed the carpet place, big place. He raised the silkworms.
Here, let me fix that pillow for you, then.
Thank you. Worms feed off the leaves of the mulberry trees. He was passing the grove, covered with mulberries. I spotted a fire, a little campfire, like deep in the grove, almost out of sight.
I see.
Thought I'd better stop and have a look. The kid, he wanted to get out of the car with me. I don't know why I let him, but I had no way of knowing.
Oh, of course, you couldn't know.
We walked in. I guess they heard us coming. One of them kicked at the fire. I saw his shadow. That's all. I yelled at him to stand where they was, and they started blasting.
Go on.
I turned, pushed the kid down. Something hit me in the back. I went out. When I came to, my kid was lying there, just a couple of feet from me. 15 years old.
All right. Don't try to talk anymore.
Get him for me, Ranger. Please get him. Me and my kid.
I left the hospital and headed for the Carbeth Ranch outside Mineral Wells. Big Jim Carbeth, the owner of the place, took me into the mulberry grove where the deputy and his boy had been gunned.
Well, this is the spot. Sheriff's combed it over pretty complete, though.
Had their fire right over here.
What are you digging out of them ashes?
Fire wasn't burning long. Started it with a road map and an envelope. Little corner of the envelope not quite burned. I can just make out the stamp.
Huh?
It's Mexican. Maybe our lab can make out the postmark.
Out of that charred hunk?
Yeah. If I can slide it into this fresh envelope without breaking it up too much.
You fellas sure can figure a lot from a little, I reckon.
Sometimes. When they left, they went through there toward the road.
How do you know that?
Here's the mark where the fire was kicked. Steps from it move that way.
It might have been the sheriff and his men.
Not in low heel eastern boots. See the impressions?
Oh.
One set, same as yours or mine, except for the difference in boots.
Huh.
The other set scuffs in at the toes. Man who made those is pigeon-toed.
Well, you sound like you could draw a picture of them.
I could now. Let's see where these prints lead. They led to the road, or almost to the road. Just at the edge of the grove were tire markings where a car had been backed into the mulberries to screen it from sight.
Yeah, this is it, all right. Can see where it scraped the branches.
Did more than scrape them. And this one's been torn off. The part that got torn off isn't on the ground. Low branch, too.
Oh, that means something?
From the tire marks and the height of the branch, it means the baggage compartment of the car was open and then closed down on the end of the branch. See, it snapped off when the car moved.
You sound like that's worth knowing.
It might be worth plenty. The highway patrol turns up an abandoned car with a piece of mulberry branch caught on it. I drove back to headquarters and turned the charred envelope over to the lab. Then I went in and reported to Captain Stinson.
Sounds like the Gordon brothers, all right.
I'd bet on it. And if they're in the habit of ditching their cars, we'd better check on all the stolen and abandoned. We find the car, we know which way they're headed.
I'll send out a bulletin on it. What did Lab say about the envelope?
Burned pretty bad, Captain, but they think they can restore it. Take time, though.
Well, if they can bring out that Mexican postmark, it might tell us where the Gordons plan to cross the border.
That's what I was thinking. They won't go through a regular border station. It'll be an illegal crossing. And they'll probably have a hideaway arranged on the other side.
Yeah, probably other members of the Crawford gang.
I figure they'll try to make it before tomorrow morning. They'll be making their big run tonight.
Well, head south, Jace, toward the border. We'll relay all information to you as it comes up.
I'd better get charcoal out of the barn and hitch up my horse trailer.
That's a good idea. Wherever they try to cross, it's a cinch it won't be good territory for a car.
The border stations are covered, though, aren't they, in case they do try a legal crossing?
Now, their mugs are hanging in every customs house from Brownsville to El Paso. FBI has given them extra cover. And the Mexican police are helping, too.
I better get going, then. So long, Captain.
So long, Jace. And good luck.
I loaded charcoal into the horse trailer and headed south, aiming for the center of the border near Val Verde County so I could change my direction fast either way. I kept a lead foot on the gas pedal. Towards sundown, I was just outside El Dorado when the radio dispatcher came through telling me to call headquarters. I got Captain Stinson on long distance.
That Mulberry branch is paying off, Jace. Abandoned car with a piece of it caught in the trunk has just been found in Fort Stockton, Pecos County.
How long ago?
Less than 15 minutes, and the motor was still warm. Highway patrol is throwing up roadblocks at all points, south and west. They can't be far out of Stockton.
Must be planning to try a border crossing in Presidio or Booster County, then. Any report on that burned envelope?
Still working on it, Jace. You better head for Fort Stockton. If they do get past our block, they're within 90 miles of the border.
I'll do my best, Captain. So long.
Well, it's another baseball summer with ball fans all over the country watching their favorites and baseball champions all over the major leagues eating their Wheaties. Yup, and do they eat their Wheaties? The Philadelphia Phillies, Ashburn and Ennis. The Cleveland Indians, Lemon and Boudreaux. Stan Musial of the St. Louis Cards. George Kell of the Detroit Tigers. Pee Wee Reese of the Dodgers. They're all getting their Wheaties, breakfast of champions. And you know, so are a lot of other smart people. Folks who want high-stepping energy to stride through their mornings high, wide, and handsome. They're getting Wheaties, too. Are you? Well, listen, you may not play ball for a living, but you can use Wheaties energy. You can use Wheaties vitamins, minerals, and protein. You can use Breakfast of Champions, too. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. A whole golden kernel rolled out flat and toasted. Yes, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's why Wheaties can do so much and help send you through the morning on high. That's why Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. You have some. Wheaties, the crisp way to get your whole wheat. Tomorrow morning, make yours milk and fruit and Wheaties. Breakfast of champions. See for yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
Started for the roadblock area in Pecos County, but I never got there. I was still 50 miles away when headquarters radioed me to contact them by phone. Had a feeling the news wasn't going to be good, and it wasn't.
We can forget about Pecos County, Jace. The Gordons broke through our roadblock.
Where?
Back road near Hovey. They turned a Tommy gun on the highway patrol and a sheriff's car.
Kill anybody?
Two, and two more badly wounded. The men were just found when they didn't answer a radio call. Happened 2 hours ago.
Then the Gordons could be at the border by now.
The wildest part of it, Jace. And you'll have to guess what... Just a second.
What is the first
order? Here it is, Jace. Lab report on the burned envelope.
Where was it mailed from?
Boquillas. Right across the Rio Grande from the Santiago Mountains. That country's murder.
Worse for them than for us. River swollen by spring rains. They'll need a boat to cross.
County sheriff can beat through the mountains with posses. 10 miles each side.
I'll get as close as I can by car, and then Charcoal and I'll ride in. The posse will corner them. We'll have them.
You're the closest ranger unit, Jace. But those men are dangerous. You want to wait for some help?
No time for waiting. Now's the time for getting them. You'll hear from me. South of Brewster County, the world comes to an end. I drove as far as I could and met one wing of the sheriff's posse where Maravillas Creek runs into the Rio Grande. Any sign of them, Sheriff?
Nope. Got men working in from the other side of the mountains, though.
I'll get my horse and ride in with you ways. Then we can split and fan out.
Good. Mighty fine horse, Ranger.
The best. Come on, Charco. Which of your men knows this section best?
Jaime Sanchez, I reckon.
I'd like him to ride with me when we split.
Oh, he'd be proud to. Sanchez!
Hey, you want me for something, Sheriff?
Ranger wants you to ride with him.
That's good with me.
Thanks, Sanchez. You got any signal arranged with the rest of your posse?
3 shots. 2 seconds between each one.
Good. Well, let's ride.
All right, men. Mount up.
Well, we'll follow the river, and then you can drop off in pairs and head in toward the peak. The sheriff will pair you off. If you hit ground too rough for your horses, tie them off and move through on foot. All got that? All right, let's move.
Come on, get up.
Along the river, closing the circle and hoping that Joe and Tiny Gordon were inside of it. The country got rougher and no horse could have taken it without the light of the moon. Posse paired off and thinned out. Finally, the sheriff and his last deputy turned off and Sanchez and I went on alone. How far are we from Boquilla, Sanchez?
About 5 miles, senor, and it will be right across the Rio.
We better turn toward the peak, then.
We can't go in very far in the horses. Maybe we should leave them right here. Easier to find again.
You're probably right.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Tie them off over here.
See? There are some cabins up here in the mountains, but the men we are after wouldn't know about them.
What kind of cabins?
Old hunters' cabins from long ago when there was good hunting. But most of the game is gone. Nobody lives in them anymore.
No, but the Gordons might know about them anyhow.
You say they do not know this country.
Yeah, they could have been told. They're meeting somebody in Mexico. Some of their gang might have come through here before. That's why they picked this spot.
They're in such a hurry, though, I don't think they would stop.
Yeah, they would if the big boy got tired.
The big boy?
Yeah, Tiny Gordon. He's pigeon-toed. Something wrong with his feet. He's big and heavy and carrying a lot of weight. He's going to slow down in this country.
I think you're right, Ranger Pearson. He ain't got good feet. He's slowed down plenty in here.
And the cabins in the territory we're covering?
See, two of them.
Now let's take a look.
See, the first one is right up this way to the left, about 2 miles in.
Maybe they're just waiting there.
Soon find out. Stay clear of the doorway and keep your gun ready while I go in.
See, but you better have your guns ready, too.
Don't worry. I got them. Watch it. Nobody here. Come in. Lamp here. I'll light it.
Something wrong with the lamp, senor?
No, but I don't think I'll light it after all. Use your flashlight instead.
See? There.
Feel the glass. Lamp chimney.
It's warm, senor.
Used less than half an hour ago. Could any of the posse have reached here before us?
I don't see how. They all turn in further back.
I mean the group working in from the other side.
No, they came all the way from Hot Springs, further than where we start. Mm. That's where the sheriff's deputy went to get them.
Flash your light around a little.
See.
Wait, turned on that chair again.
See.
Look. Dust wiped off it. Somebody sitting there not long ago. A scraped spot on the floor. Sat with his legs straight out. The scraping was done by his heels.
See, you have a good eye.
I think I'll sit down there and stretch my legs. My heels reach those marks?
No, not quite so far. But why do you do that?
Because I'm 6 feet tall. The man that sat in that chair is taller. Tiny Gordon is 6'3". Come on. Look around. See which way they're headed.
I think this way, Ranger Pearson.
Why? What'd you find?
Somebody step on this dead log, take off a piece of the bark.
Yeah. Prints there, too. Here, flash your light.
See? Here.
Two sets. One of them with the toes turning in. Now, throw the light that way.
See? That bush.
First one through here held the branch back for the other to pass. Knocked off a few berries. Crushed them on the ground.
It's still wet from the juice.
We got the direction now. Let's move. You better put that light off.
They're headed for the Rio, all right. Shouldn't we fire the gun now, the signal for the posse?
No, we're too close. Gordons might hear it, too. Probably think they're safe in here. They don't know we've got a postmark. Better chance of getting them cold if they don't know.
See. You think they're going to fight if we catch them?
With murder charges in a couple of states, they got nothing to lose. They'll fight plenty. They left the trail all the way, easy to follow even by moonlight. Got fresher as we moved along and saw more and more spots where Tiny Gordon had stopped to rest, and the pace spots where Joe Gordon had moved around restlessly waiting for him. It wasn't long before we could hear the lapping of the Rio Grande as the foothills dipped down toward it. Then we heard them, moving and talking in the reeds at the edge of the river.
All right, take it easy, man.
How do you know?
How do you know they got our letter? Expected us last night.
Let's try again. No, we ain't moving on a time schedule. Suppose they don't come.
Be late in a couple of hours.
We'll go back to that cabin and hold up again until tomorrow night. Besides, who's going to see us here?
Maybe an Indian or something. How do you know who's liable to be tramping around? What are you, Daniel Boone or something?
That dryer.
No, don't you tell me to dry up, you little pump.
That tiny.
We figured that right. They're expecting a pickup from the Mexican side.
See, good thing the boat did not come
here.
Lucky you could carry a 45. You tried to carry a Tommy gun away. You were flopping around in there. You'd kill yourself and me, too.
I might kill you someday, Joe. Shoot your mouth off.
Go on, try it. I'll blow your brain.
Why, you want to punch in the jaw, Joe? Try it.
Well, they got 45s. But so have we, see? Let's move in and take them. Slipped down to the edge of the reeds. I tapped Sanchez to move off about 30 yards so they'd have to come between us if they made a breakaway from the river. We couldn't see them in the reeds, but they couldn't see us either. Sanchez reached his position, and then I straightened up.
Tiny!
Hey,
Joe!
Who's that? Get up, Tiny!
I'm a Texas Ranger. There's a posse of 20 men in the hills. You're surrounded. Will you come out? That won't do you any good.
This way, Tiny!
Open up, Sanchez! That's a posse signal, Tiny. They'll all be heading this way.
You won't be hearing them, Ian. Wait, gun.
What's the matter, Tiny? Your gun empty?
Mine isn't, Captain.
Hey, how'd you fellas ever kill anybody? You don't even come close.
Where are you hicks? I'll kill all of you stinking hicks.
I'm over here, signal.
Oh, yeah?
The rest of the posse will be here soon. It'll be daylight. We'll starve you out or burn you out. You're hogtied. You better give up while you can.
I ain't giving up. I'll take a lot of your hits with me. Come on, Joe.
Hey, will you? Bring them this way, son.
Joe! Get dirty!
You had your chance, Tiny.
You dirty...
All right, Sanchez.
You got it, senor.
Guess this job is almost finished.
Almost finished? They look like they finished good.
Yeah, I mean the rest of the Crawford gang are from across the river. A nice surprise for them if they come over in their boat. Posse will be here soon, and we may be able to take them by surprise.
Easier than these two, senor. You know, I don't think they like us very much.
I saw what they did to a deputy sheriff and his kid. I didn't like the Gordon brothers very much either.
Two hours later, other members of the Crawford gang were surprised and captured without resistance when they crossed the Rio Grande to keep their rendezvous with the Gordon brothers. They were turned over to federal authorities to stand trial for their crimes.
Well, partner, whether you're riding the Texas prairie or smelting steel in Pittsburgh, first you need your Wheaties. Yep, breakfast of champions for folks with big things to do. It's a brighter morning and a better job when you begin a good breakfast with Wheaties. Here's why. There's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. Yes, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's why Wheaties can give so much. Whole wheat vitamins and minerals, protein too. Whole wheat energy to help you stride through the morning high, wide, and handsome. Yes, there's a whole kernel of wheat in every Wheaties flake. That's how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. You try them. Golden flakes, crisp flakes, Wheaties flakes. Have some tomorrow with milk and fruit and see yourself how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae will soon be seen starring in the Universal International Technicolor production, Saddle Trim. Tonight's cast included Tony Barrett, Tom McKee, Tom Holland, Jack Grushin, Byron Kane, and Jay Novello. This story was transcribed and adapted by Joel Murcott, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. This is Hal Gibney speaking.
And this is the Wheaties man, Frank Martin, inviting you to listen Tuesday night to the Penny Singleton Show on the Wheaties Big Parade. See you then.